Welcome to Talking Hoosier Baseball. We are recording this on Thursday, March 27th, 2024. I'm Carl James, joined by Chris Feeney and Cassidy Palmer. The Indiana University baseball team had a 2-2 week, dropping the opening Big Ten series at home to Illinois before dominating Middle Tennessee in a Tuesday midweek. So, obviously, not a great start to Big Ten play, losing a home series. Probably something you would describe as a winnable home series. And obviously, a lot of things, especially on the pitching end, were not what to be expected, although there was the one winning game was a phenomenal performance. So, Chris, a lot of up and downs this week. You know, what did we learn?
Well, we learned we could still give up huge innings. We're still capable of that. We learned that Connor Foley is still Connor Foley, which was nice. Honestly, I think it's a lot of stuff that we've already known until that midweek game came along. But as far as the big series goes, it's kind of the same old, you know. I'm a Jets fan, and a lot of times when things are going south, we say same old Jets. And in this case, it was same old Hoosiers, honestly. Right, we played a tough game on Friday and gave up a huge inning. They never scored again. Most of the runs were with two outs and with guys fouling off a bunch of two-strike pitches, like what's been happening all year. Saturday, you know, Connor Foley does his thing. 10 Ks, great performance. You know, we get the win. And then Sunday, well, there was that optimism for a minute there where the first bad inning was only four runs, right? And we were like, oh, good, we hit the brakes on that. And then the next one was eight runs. So we just, you know, said, oh, no. Oh, no. We can do eight runs. So then it was 12-0. So, sure, then we battled back a little and same old. They never really scored again. Actually, they did. I think they got to, like, 15. But it was really a lot of the same. So we learned that we know what we are. For the midweek game, we learned quite a bit. We learned that we might be sitting on a nice little star named Jason Oliver. Four hits for a freshman, two bombs. I mean, he's already taken a job from a grad transfer. He's already taken a job from, you know, the next guy who they basically said Carlson was going to take that spot. The guy could be a special, special dude. Sure, we don't know it yet for sure, but a performance like that, we learned something, you know. I think we also learned something from this team that they're still into this. You know, the ship hasn't sailed. The team is still plugged in. I know a lot of people weren't at that game last night with the late start and the cold weather, but, you know, they were in. They were in. They're plugged in. The dugout's plugged in. There was a point, I think there was a two-out walk. Was it from Phillips? And then they hit a bomb. The game got close again, and it was like the team just refocused, right? No. We're going to keep scoring, and they did. So, in case maybe there was some doubt in the group, I think we definitely learned that they're fine. You know, they buckled right in and they, you know, that back-to-back-to-back home runs was wild. And I think we learned that Sam Morrison is more than a defensive replacement. So we could chalk that up for another thing that we learned. But yeah, I mean, that midweek game really was exciting. And it was kind of like you got to exhale, right? Because a lot of what's been going on lately is, oh, we were ranked, you know, and then we were thinking about how good we were and that maybe we'll host and da-da-da-da, and that it's all been downhill. And it was just something about last night that really just seems to change, or Tuesday night, that seemed to really change the dynamic a bit. And I don't know if it was the few people that were in the crowd or just what was going on. It had a different vibe. It was like, you know what? We're just going to play for now. And we're going to, you know, we're going to do what we got to do and we're going to play ball. And hey, numbers wise, Cass is about to tell us what she's picked up on, but I can tell you the vibe wise, I think it's just like, you know what? Okay. We weren't a top 20 team, but we're also not the worst team. Let's just be us, play it out, get better as we can along the season and see where the chips fall at the end. What did the actual numbers say though, Cass?
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Well, I think it's pretty obvious that still the ceiling for this team is determined by the pitching staff. We know these bats can largely hit off of maybe not anybody, the best of the best we've really struggled with, but by and large, this offense is going to put up runs. We know that. So really, the ceiling for this team is determined by the pitching staff. And looking at this last week in comparison to the week before and the season as a whole, there were a few more walks this week than we had seen. We had seen quite a big drop off on walks last week, and those creeped back up a little bit, but actually put it right about the season average. So that wasn't too horribly concerning. 9-7 against Illinois, not great, but those were kind of balanced by 3 in the second game against Illinois and just 1 walk against Middle Tennessee. Looking at the hits, this staff is giving up pretty much regardless about 10 hits a game. 10 hits on average, 10 hits this week, average 10 hits last week, averaging 9.3 hits on the season. So right about 10 hits. But what's really interesting is looking at the number of home runs given up. This week, average just 1 home run a game. Last week, that was 3 home runs a game, and that was in a week where we were really harping on, okay, you've got the walks down, you've got the control down, now you're just serving it up to them to knock it out of the park. That was back down this last week, which was good, and it's actually lower than the season as a whole, where the team's sitting at 2 home runs a game. But looking at it even a little bit closer, looking at wins versus losses, in these wins, 9% of total hits given up are home runs. In losses, it's 23%. And that's where we're really seeing that big difference. Again, the single one or even 2 solo shots, like those are typically not going to hurt you. It's when you're giving up many home runs with runners on, whether that's by hits, walks, HBPs. And so moving forward, again, we'd love to see the control come back down just a little bit, but they're sitting right about the season average this last week. But really want to see those home runs stay mostly down. Again, a few home runs, when you're being aggressive, there are going to be some home runs. That's just the way it is, particularly if you're throwing 93, 94, 95. The harder you throw, the harder it's being knocked out. So it happens. We just want it to be a rare occurrence and not 3, 4, 5 home runs in a game. So those were some of the numbers that I was looking at this week. Chris, going back to some more vibes, what were you seeing with the Red Belts this week?
All right, thanks, Cass. For those who are listening and not watching, I've got my Mets shirt on. Cass has got the Cardinals jersey. Carl's got the Dodgers hat. You know, happy opening day to all who celebrate. I just wanted to throw that out there. For the Red Belts, and then really this to me is like, it always brought me back to like watching that national game of the week, and they'd give out a player of the game, and that's really where it kind of started. And honestly, the Talking Hoosier Baseball, we almost called it This Week in Hoosier Baseball, if I remember, but we weren't sure if we'd do it weekly. But that was kind of like from Twib Notes, and of course it's all from MLB growing up watching. And happy opening day. My Mets got rained out already. They'll open up on Friday, but that's kind of us. That's what we do. So we'll open up on Friday. But for the Red Belts for the past week, including obviously the Illinois and then the midweek against Middle Tennessee State, for the defensive Red Belt, the Tony Butler Award, I'm going with Joey B. lot of big scoops, a lot of big plays at first. I know there's one he wishes he had back, that over the shoulder on the foul line. But, I mean, that was an amazing play just to get to the ball. But all his scoops and what he's been able to do at first base for a freshman, a redshirt freshman, however you want to call it, really has solidified first base, I feel like. And his bat just keeps him in the lineup anyway. But defensively, we're going to go with Joey B. Pitching, not really a difficult decision. Connor Foley gets the Joey Donato, 7 innings, 2 hits, just the 2 walks, 103 pitches. You know, you want to talk about MLB arms. There's your 103 pitches and 10 strikeouts. So Connor really looked the way, you know, he should. And from what I understand, there were quite a few radar guns and scouts in the building, so I'm glad for that too, that he got his notice for that. Offensively, again, I don't think this is really that hard of a pick. Jason Oliver, for the week, had 8 hits, scored 5 runs, had the 2 walks, and in one game, he had 4 hits, 2 home runs, 3 runs scored, and 3 RBIs. So this kid was real special all week. We'll go with Jason Oliver for the Alex Dickerson Award. Really, really showing out, and we're learning about him. We did have a tip that he had some power, if I remember, from one of the beat reporters as he was hitting singles and stuff. And she was right. We'll have to give it to her. Ava, I believe her name is. She seemed to know she had some link to him in high school and that Oliver could hit some bombs, and he sure can. We saw that power displayed last Tuesday night. So there's your red belts, Jason Oliver, Joey B, and Connor Foley. And, you know, we'll see what comes from, I guess, 5 games this week, right? We got Butler for 4 and then the Indiana State. Carl's going to talk a bit about the Bulldogs and give us a series preview on Butler now.
Thank you, Chris. So if you read any of my stuff from the fall when I did the schedule analysis, this was the series I put on my I listed on the schedule as the one that I was not happy about. 4 games against a team that won, I think, roughly 12 games all year last season. So I am now going to update my stance on this. Given where the team is at now and where it seems like some things have been identified as what they're going to try to do to fix the pitching, I'm actually really excited about this series because it's almost like this is spring training. This is a 4-day very intense session to get a bunch of arms out there, try to compete and have them compete hard in the zone with a lot of pitchers coming in quickly, coming out quickly, to try to see what they can do. Butler is in the Big East, which this year is actually a crazy good baseball conference, the number 4 overall RPI conference. They're actually ahead of 2 Power 5 conferences right now in RPI ranking as a conference. Butler is at 10-12, which is not great, but a significant improvement over what they did last year. So Butler is trending in the positive. Butler, in general, is very much like a lot of the teams that we have seen so far this season. This is a team that has a lot of power, a lot of good hitting. They've got 5 guys right now with significant at bats who have an OPS north of 1,000. They have several guys hitting over 300, at least five guys that are hitting over 300 right now. So they swing it. So this is a lot like what you tend to see out of teams like this. Really good at the bat. They are just like what coaches was talking about. You know, you poor pitching to teams like this is going to end up with big runs. So it doesn't matter what the name is across their jersey. In D1 hitters, you throw a 90-mile-per-hour pitch right down the middle, it's going to get hammered by the 8-hole hitter in any of the teams that Indiana's put on their schedule. So it's important to be competitive, and this is going to be a huge, huge opportunity for this pitching staff to be challenged over a very short period of time with a lot of innings needing to be thrown. Everyone's going to go out. They're going to need every guy on this pitching staff is going to have to go out and show what he can do. And as Coach said, if he doesn't have it, he's going to get pulled quickly because there's going to be the next guy up. But I think in that case, he may come right back around. It's like, okay, you're going to have to go out there now and you're going to have to compete. Now, on the opposite end is Butler's pitching, which Indiana's hitting had better produce a lot of runs this coming weekend. We're looking at only one pitcher on out of, I think, the 20 or so that have seen action. Only one of them has a whip below 1.5. Most of them have whips north of 2. Quite a few have whips north of 3. So that means that there are pitchers on this staff, and as we talked about, given the condensed nature of 4 games in 3 days, you're going to see everybody. So there's going to be plenty of opportunities for this offense to jump on pitching that has struggled. And they're going to have to do it. So I think I don't know what the goal or the prediction is. I think the goal in general is to get this pitching staff right. The goal as fans, obviously, is we'd like to see a lot of wins. And I think a big piece of how those wins are going to have to come through, through a lot of run scoring. So some big scoring days, maybe a couple of these games go 15 to 13 or 20 to 15 or something along those lines. But the hope is that in most of these games and most of these innings, the pitching staff competes and can keep the run totals relatively low. We're not talking about, except for maybe Foley's day, we're not talking about, 2-3 runs. We're talking about, keep them under 7. You keep them under 7, the offense should have no problem getting enough runs to score. So, Butler does have a graduate student, Ethan Vakrumba, who graduated from IU last year. He is a DH on the team, currently batting 195 with a 637 OPS. He has 50 plate appearances. So not sure whether we'll see him or not, but he will be there. And obviously there were multiple little roles that he played when he was at IU. He might be doing a similar thing for Butler. But other than that, I'm not going to kind of go over any specific guys, just talk about what the pitching staff is going to have to do against what's been a pretty solid offensive team. All right. Then there is a rematch. The Indiana State Sycamores are coming to the BART after they very well took care of business against the Hoosiers at Bob Warren Field. So Cass, what can you tell us about the Sycamores?
Yes. Thank you, Carl. Well, the Fighting Trees are 18-5 on the season. They are now 2-1 in the Missouri Valley Conference, taking 2 of 3 from Missouri State. On the year so far, they are 4-0 versus the Big Ten, with wins over Indiana, Purdue, Illinois, and Michigan State. And as we saw in the last game, they can play. That was a 7-15 loss for IU, despite the fact that IU was up 6-0 going into the bottom of the third inning. The Hoosiers had 3 errors in the game, gave up 5 home runs. The Sycamores hit .333 as a team that game, and there were 6 combined walks and HBPs. So this game was pretty much the definition of everything I talked about in my stats section of can't give up that many free passes and you can't give up that many home runs and still hope to win. And in fact, the large portion of the difference in that game was a 7-run sixth inning for Indiana State, Without that, it's an 8-7 game, and it's far more competitive coming down to the end of the game. Just recently, Diaz, the shortstop, and Hernandez, the first baseman, were named in the D1 positional rankings. Diaz at number 20 for shortstops, and Hernandez at number 46 for first baseman. And those are two of the big bats to watch for. Hernandez is still batting .396 this far into the season with 6 home runs. Against IU the first time, he was 2-for-3 with a home run. Diaz is hitting .313 on the year with 5 home runs. Against IU, he was 1-for-6 with a home run. And then the third one to really watch for is Listy. He's hitting .373 on the year and does not strike out hardly at ever. He has more walks than he does strikeouts. He was 2-for-5 with an RBI first time around against the Hoosiers. As a team, Indiana State is hitting .278 with 31 home runs and 100 walks, 100 even. With it being a midweek, I'm not going to go too... I'm not going to go into any specific pitchers, but as a staff, they have an ERA of 4.23 with a 1.40 whip. They've walked 90 batters compared to 227 strikeouts. They like to strike teams out. I know midweeks can get kind of funky with some of that, either all the strikeouts or none of the strikeouts. But just something to keep an eye on. And their opponents are batting .247 on the year. So it's very much a solid pitching staff to go with a solid offensive approach. They are a pretty well-rounded team. And that'll be on Tuesday at the BART at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Weather permitting, it looks like there might be some weather earlier in the day. I'd imagine it'll, as of now, it'll clear up pretty well by the evening. And as Chris mentioned, we're all wearing our preferred MLB gear as opening day has arrived. Chris, what info do you have from Pro Ball Hoosiers about our favorite alums?
Yeah, he's definitely the source to go to for alumni news. If you haven't checked out the Twitter account at Pro Ball Hoosiers, I suggest you do that. This gentleman, you know, chooses to be kind of incognito, so his name's not really linked to it. But he does a hell of a job connecting to our alumni and tracking. And it's not just baseball. I mean, he tracks every pro athlete from IU. And it's not just in America. Like, he gives you stats from, like, German basketball. Or, like, I don't know, soccer in Lithuania. Like, if we got an IU guy there, at Pro Bowl Hoosiers is all over it. All right? He's got the translation from the Twitter. And it's really wild what he puts into it. And I tip my hat. I'm not wearing a hat, but tip my hat to Pro Bowl Hoosiers for the work he puts into it. It really, really is an amazing job. I mean, to cover, it's enough to do baseball, right? My man's doing every athlete, golfers, poker players. I mean, literally anybody you could think of. Pro Bowl Hoosiers is tracking on his Twitter account. So if you're not following it, you really should. If you're an IU fan and you really want to see how our student athletes move on into the professional ranks and whatever sport that might be. So there's my Pro Bowl Hoosiers pitch for the night. I was texting with him earlier today, and he passed on some real good information with it being opening day. You know, I'm just sitting here in my apartment and I'm looking like on my bookshelf. I got pictures of me and my brother from opening day, and there's two with me and my brother and my dad from not opening day, but in our Mets stuff. And it's just like the pro stuff is what really got us into the game, you know? And it's just opening day just had that feel. Like myself, I attended every Mets opening day from 1998 to 2019. And yes, I had tickets in 2020, but didn't exactly play a game. So that kind of stopped the streak. But opening day is a special day. And I can't even imagine how it feels to take the field as a player. Like, you know, they do the special lineups and everything. Right now, we do have, obviously, Kyle Schwarber on the Phillies on an opening day roster, and we have Timmy Herron on the Cleveland Guardians opening day roster. There are plenty of minor leaguers as far as Pro Bowl Hoosiers, because that's still Pro Bowl. Don't get it mixed up. They're getting paid to play. They're getting, that's their job, is to play baseball, and then that's a damn good job. So only two have actually been assigned to locations so far, and that's Andrew Salfrank. He's going to be with the Reno Aces, and that's AAA. A lot of us saw him pitch against Schwarber in the World Series, right, with the D-backs. And then Matt Lloyd, Springfield, Missouri, the AA Cardinals. So he got a direct shot into AA and to Missouri. How far is that from you, Cass?
Yeah, it's still like between 3 and 4 hours. Nah, listen, like
you got to do at least one series,
oh, yeah.
Cass.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's already on my list.
What's up?
I said that's already on my to-do list.
Nice. That's going to be wild. So those are our only assigned Hoosiers that Pro Bowl Hoosiers told me about. They also sent me who has actually played in spring training games. As far as pitchers, that, you know, spring training is over now, obviously. But Timmy Herron and Andrew Salfrank obviously pitched. Tanner Gordon threw two innings and got two strikeouts for the Rockies. He got traded to Colorado. He was with the Atlanta organization. He got traded to Colorado. Craig Yoho for the Brewers got in an inning in spring training, and he got a strikeout as well. But there are plenty more. I'm just going to rip through them real quick just because it's opening day and I want to. I'm going to list all of our Pro Bowl Hoosiers, and obviously we're waiting for them to be assigned. But we have Jack Perkins with Oakland, Cade Bunnell with the Atlanta Braves. I already mentioned that one, that one, that one. Gabe Bierman with the Florida Marlins organization. Philip Glasser with the Washington Nats. Bradley Bremer with Baltimore. Reese Sharp is also with Baltimore. And just for those who might not have heard, wish him some good recovery. He did have surgery, Tommy John. So Reese will be out, you know, for quite a while. But hopefully a good recovery for him. Plenty of pitchers have had this surgery. And I'm sure he'll be coming back strong. Matt Gorski with the Pittsburgh organization. McCade Brown with Tanner Gordon with Colorado. Jonathan Stever with the White Sox. Ugh, now I have to list a bunch of Yankees. But that's okay because they're Hoosiers, so I'm all right with it. Scott F. Frost, Elijah Dunham, Grant Richardson, and the Peter Cerruto. So that is certainly quite a few Yankees that I'm going to have to deal with at some point. But at least all the Kyle Schwarber trade rumors never came to fruition. And there were quite a few of them. So I never had to root for Schwarber on the Yankees. So that was a good thing. But, yeah, I mean, the MLB season starting, if you're going to follow, like if you really have an interest, pick up the Twitter feed of at Pro Bowl Hoosiers. And no, we can't tell you who he is. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time somebody asked me, I'd be rich. Seriously, I would be rich. But, you know, I'm still, we can't tell you who it is. It's just kind of how he wants it. So that's how we're going to do it. But really, I know for me, I take a big pride in watching the alumni do their thing, even if it's in a day game, you know, in a minor league system. Because you know what? That's their craft. That's their profession. You know, it was, oh, he didn't make the majors. You know what? My man is he's playing ball for a living. So especially with the new stuff, you know, they're really paying the minor leaguers more. They're taking care of them a lot better than they had in the past. So it's really taken some strides for taking care of our minor league systems, which is big. Now, I know Carl has been to a lot of the press conferences. I haven't been to as many lately. But, Carl, what have you been hearing from Coach as far as reactions? I know the Illinois series didn't go exactly how he wanted. I'm sure he was pleased from the midweek performance. But what have you been hearing from Coach?
Yeah, actually, it was rather interesting because I will say the most fired up he was actually last night. And I haven't put that one out yet. I'm going to put that out here, hopefully around the same time that this podcast comes out. So you kind of should be able to listen to them together. But he was the most fired up in the fact that he challenged that pitching core before this game. It was like he challenged them to you guys have stuff. You guys need to use the stuff that you have. And we'll put you in situations where you're going to be able to go in, throw as hard as you can, throw, but don't just go crazy. You're going to throw at your targets. Throw at your targets, but throw it as hard as you can. Get you in, get you out. And he talked a bit about Sunday. He's been hinting all along at the idea that get guys in, get guys out. So start stacking a lot more pitchers. Have a plan for kind of what order they're going to be in, to the point that you can have the next guy. And this comes to the point that Cass made a couple weeks ago, that part of this preventing these snowball innings is they'll know pretty quick if a guy doesn't have it, if he's not actually throwing his stuff. They even says, like, hey, we can see from the dugout if a fastball doesn't have life to it. Obviously, they can definitely tell there's no velocity there, but they're also looking for life on pitches. It's like, are you throwing the pitch that you should be throwing? The stuff that they were recruited for, the stuff that they know that they have, some of the stuff they've even taught them. This is a talented group of pitchers. It's the execution's just been very poor. That's the message that coach gave to us, essentially. He didn't use that particular word, but that's kind of the overall arching thing of this. It's that, I mean, he even went to the point of saying guys were throwing great in the bullpen, and then they get out onto the mound, and then they're throwing 90 miles per hour down the middle. And that in D1 baseball, those are, to Cass's point, those are home runs. So I'm in some of their great, like what Cass said is interesting. Look, tracking the walk rates, I'm actually okay with a slightly higher walk rate, if that means they're being a little bit more challenging trying to throw the stuff, you know, and occasionally, you know, they miss enough that you're gonna let a guy on base. You know, now of course I would love them all to do like what Tyra Barczyk did and. and get no walks and for the most part keep things under control from a run perspective, but that's the big gist that we really got from coach on that piece. He also said that he feels there are a few hitters in the lineup that are not producing the way they want them to. I think that things have gone relatively well because there are other hitters that are, but they really want to elevate more of the hitters and get them. And I think not a lot of it is like incredibly obvious, because I think a lot of these guys are still finding ways to contribute, even if they're not tearing the cover off the ball. You know, poor Devin Taylor. No one wants to pitch to that dude.
No, I don't blame him.
I mean, he's being pitched so carefully. But the point is, he's like, he only got one hit yesterday, but he also only had two at bats because he walked a ton. And he scored. He kept scoring and he kept scoring. So he's getting on base. He's scoring runs. You know, he's not knocking the cover off the ball, but they're not giving him a lot to hit. And he's finding ways to contribute, you know. And as we've noted, he's also been playing really, really good outfield defense and contributing in multiple ways.
He's getting real comfortable out there, Carl. Did you see him with the swagger out there the other day? He's great. I mean, the fact that he's comfortable enough to come out of his element a little bit out there now really shows you he's feeling that corner outfield position.
Yeah,
and he leaves his feet. He's making the dive in. He's making the cover a ton of ground to the wall. He really has taken to that position. You nailed that.
And he also seemed the most excited when Sam came into the dugout yesterday. he was
he's
going
the one
nuts.
Up elbow bash.
Yeah.
But even before Sam hit the bomb, I know I was really, come on, just get a hit, get a single, get a hit. And so was the dugout. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like all or nothing for Sam. Like, they just wanted him to get a hit. And then he cracks it. Oh, it was just so good for the team, for the guys in that room. I really think, I mean, yeah, sure, the back-to-back-to-back is great, but the third one was Carter. They've seen that a million times. to go Oliver and then Sam was like, come on. Mm-hmm. And I think it really, it put a spark in these guys, and I think it let them relax. I know as a fan, it let me relax last night. It really did, because it's been stressful, man. When you had the expectations that you had, you mentioned what coach said. I'm sure his bar was much higher for this pitching staff. They're not executing, and they got to get back on track. And there's plenty of season to go to see them do that.
Yep. And actually, I think the back-to-back-to-back is important because that's the whole snowball inning. And I think it feels good to be on the other end of one of those snowball innings.
Yes.
And I think it's important that it's like, you know what? We can do this too. We can crush pitches. And in fact, we should be better at it than they are. And I think it just gives that dugout to have that feeling that, hey, we are in this. We are able to compete.
But look how that inning started, Carl. Look how that inning started, right? We were up four. Phillips walks the guy with two outs. They hit a bomb. We're down two. The hitters were into it. It's not that you're coming to the plate down eight, down 12, down seven after taking the field for an hour and a freaking half because we're giving up eight runs. I mean, straight up, I know the hitters probably should be executing better. I hear what coach is saying. And I've never played in this level. But I have to have a belief from watching enough baseball that you're going to come out of yourself. You're going to want to do it all at once. You're going to press when it's 12-0, 8-0, 6-0, 9-0. But when it was 6-4, they went back to back to back. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a different mindset. It has to be.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And coach even has actually alluded to that a little bit. He's not been wanting to say it, but he's kind of hinted at it too, that it's a little harder to, you know, to be focused when you're down 12 runs.
Yeah.
And it happens all at once. Yeah. It's such a gut punch, right? We're playing a nothing-nothing game for five innings, then we're down eight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had somebody come up to me last night. I won't say who it was. Like, oh, you're here tonight. I'm like, I've been here. Oh, I've been here. But what do you want me to be loud about? What do you want me to be cheering about? Like, you know, just like it's a gut punch to be down 2-0 for a player, it is for the fans and the crowd. Yep. You're not going to be all, you know. And last night was a ball game. We actually had a ball game. It was great.
Yeah.
You know, and I wasn't at Connor's game, and I'm sure the crowd was loud for that one. And that was a ball game, but I wasn't there, so I didn't get to experience it. But a lot of the ball games that I've been at just haven't. They've just been out of hand, you know, and last night really felt good. And I could tell it felt good for the players.
Yeah. Yep. So as I said, I think that's all it is going forward. It's really about execution. I mean, they know they have the talent. Now I think on the pitching end, it's also, they've got to they still need to figure out who's who.
Yeah.
And I thought it very interesting. The pitchers that were thrown yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me was, I really think yesterday was about, we need to demonstrate what can be done. So that's why once you were done with the guys that were getting length, they switched to an inning of Phillips, an inning of Bothwell.
Started with Ty. Now, started with Bothwell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep, went Bothwell, Phillips, and then two innings of Braden, six Ks.
Right, but I mean, I think Braden still is going to be, because in the midweeks have it both a day off before and a day off after. I think if they need to hold a lead, Braden will be involved in that. Yeah. I'm confident at this point that they've kind of solidified him in that, and he can do that.
That was good. Great to see. Yeah. Six Ks, two innings.
Yeah,
but I think they wanted to say, you know what. We want to start this, but let's to make sure that there's a belief in it. They wanted to make sure they had the right guys doing it, at least to begin with. And now it's, can the rest of the staff get on board with this? Can they throw their best stuff?
Yep.
And this is the thing. They don't need to be great.
No.
They just need to keep the other team under seven runs. We thought that was a tall task last year.
Yeah.
And they accomplished it. That's how 43 games got won last year. And it wasn't, you know, a bunch of dominant performances. There were a few. Luke Senard definitely had some dominant performances in
They
there.
did.
Oh yeah.
And
You know,
Kraft.
but I think
Kraft had some six inning, no run, a bunch of
right.
them.
Yeah. So you've got Connor this year. Ty's has taken a step forward with
Oh yeah.
that. But it's everybody else. Now, when I looked at it, it was interesting looking at the aggregate numbers, how the players have been doing overall, how the pitchers have been doing. It's not as bad as it seems from a run perspective, and I think a lot of that deals with these just awful innings.
Oh,
And to Cass's point, I mean,
brutal.
you would think all the runs that have been scored, 10 hits per game seems a little light.
Yeah, that's fair.
But
They've been
Carl, if
efficient.
they're
They've been
all in one inning,
crazy. I
they're
know, exactly.
all in
Yeah.
one inning.
So the thing is, if these guys do in the key innings what they've proven they can do in the junk innings, and they can do that consistently. And you know what? It's okay if one guy has a couple bad at bats and he gets pulled and the next guy comes in and takes
Of
care of
course,
business. That's all we're asking. I think that's all that's being asked at this point. And
but it's not like a
make
new
that.
bar that Coach set. He set this
No.
bar at Coastal.
Yeah.
He was talking about six runs at Coastal. It's not like, oh, well, we've had trouble this year, so now let's just get under seven. This was
Yeah.
the goal the whole time. Yeah.
Well, and it goes all the way back to last season. This was
Yeah.
before last season. They've
Correct.
kept the same thing because obviously this offense is as good as it has been. I mean, this calculation was actually based on 22 because you went back and you looked at it, and if they had held the other team to six runs, and what was interesting is I did this calculation. Even taking the games that they like held them to two and bumped them up to six runs, it flipped like a total of eight games in wins, which totally took the team from having a losing record to having a semi-decent winning record. And
I
that was
believe it.
even giving the other team extra runs when they didn't score. But that's how good and consistent the offense had been. Now, the offense hasn't been as consistent. But I think a lot of that is to the points you were making, Chris, which is the offense has when have they struggled? They've struggled when the pitching has
They're
given up
down
12
big.
runs in the first two innings.
Dude, these, I mean, gut punches all over the place this year. It's been rough.
But I mean, for me on the pitching side, I'm almost tempted to, with a few exceptions, with the exceptions of Foley, Bothwell, I would now put Hrabarchuk now that he's really getting healthy. Largely Phillips and then Reisdorf. Outside of kind of those guys, throw everybody in like an inning at a time and
Absolutely.
just throw everybody. 'Cause I mean we even saw in the what was that? The first Illinois game where no, yes, maybe whichever of the Illinois games, Seti had an inning of three up, three down with two strikeouts. Like all of these guys can do an inning at a time. You've got your select guys who can go more than that. You maybe have a few others who you trust for two innings, or like with Phillips, get one time through the order, however many innings that gets you. But just throw everybody like an inning at a time and they throw multiple games in the week because that's what seems to be working. It's when we see a little bit of extension into multiple innings. And again, if you see right away a guy doesn't have it, okay, next guy up. You get to finish the inning and you might get one of your own.
And I think part of that's also just that the expectation that's communicated to the pitcher is like, we need you to go out there and get three outs. Throw your best stuff, get three outs, and then hand it off to the next guy. That's what we need from you. And these guys all have good stuff. I mean, we saw it in the fall. I mean, this is what they did in the fall. Everybody did it. Everyone threw an inning, and that was their job. It's like, hey, you're gonna come in, you're gonna get three outs, and then you're gonna let it go for the next guy. And then that means you can come back up You know, it's a 4-game series. You may be called on one another time, maybe twice in the series to take another shot at it. And coach also talked about Seti and the fact that if Seti can get his splitter in particular to work, that fastball then plays. His fastball doesn't play if his other two offerings aren't working. But in that outing, he had three different pitches working, and they weren't able to just clobber that fastball. And he was still able to throw it. It's just he needed to be able to mix it in with other pitches. And the thing is about Seti, he hasn't walked a guy yet.
I'm knocking on some wood now.
Well, again, you know what? I'm if he gives up one walk because he's, you know, throwing the splitter just and being in a called tightly called zone, you shake it off and you go after the next guy.
But yeah, it almost essentially sets it up where not necessarily everyone's a closer, but kind of a closer mentality of you're going out there for one inning, you need three outs. Like that's much more of a closer mentality
But
throughout the game. And
this
I
is the way
don't dislike that.
yeah, and this is the way professional teams, major league teams, tend to operate. You know, most of these relievers throw an inning, and you get your really good stuff out there, throw an inning, and then turn it over to the next guy. And you talk about the whole, you know, the offenses have more trouble, you know, preparing that when you're having to deal with a different pitcher. You know, even if it's not the same batter, different pitcher every inning. It's the whole team's got to kind of readjust their mindset, is because there's a lot of different profiles on this staff, guys that do different things. So I'm curious to hear and see how this goes over the course of these 4 games, and also willing to say, you know, because of this situation, because of this experimentation, and because it's outside of conference, there could be a game that gets away from him. And
Of course, of course.
yeah. You know, but at the
I
same
mean,
time, I would also
nothing is
think,
up
I
for
think it's,
grabs. I mean, everything's up for grabs now.
yeah.
I mean,
But
we
also,
never know. It's like Freddy Krueger. Like, you never know when the 8 innings, the 8-run inning's coming. You
yeah.
don't.
You know, but the hope then, I think, is also that the offense, you know, jumps on this pitching staff, for this Butler pitching staff, and scores a ton of run, and be relentless. And that's the, sometimes you just get those. I mean, it even happened yesterday. You had the bases loaded and nobody out in an inning. They got nothing. You gotta have an offense that is going to take advantage of those situations. At the very least, tack on a couple runs. But should be more than that. Should be turn those into big monstrous innings. And I get that, you know, you're gonna have, you know, weird things that happen. And
There was a lot of balls hit hard with two outs. Pine had a couple. Brock had one. So
yeah.
like there were more runs out there, but I feel like they had good swings, and it was just they were atom balls.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just really tough when you hit an atom ball with the
Right.
bases loaded right to the
I
shortstop.
know.
So,
Well, and there you go, double play, right? That was Brock you're talking about. But Pine also, Pine had a couple of line drives right at guys. And you know, it's just the way it is. You're not always going to get the holes. And you mentioned Devin earlier. Like I remember us feeling like, wow, Devin's average just dropped. But he was smacking balls. They were just going to people.
But Devin also walked with the bases loaded, so
He did.
that was that, and that's huge. It's the hey, they're not going to pitch to you. Take that walk and take that RBI.
Joey B. Joey B's been big with guys on base. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but from being enough games, I know, you know. He's been very good in the clutch.
And I know I'm not always universally agreed with this, but I do kind of like the change in the order. I like Kevin Carter up front and Nick behind the guys to drive in runs. I think that's actually working right now. Coach did mention that Oliver may be moving up significantly in the order. So
He's proven he can do it, so
he gets on base. Guy gets on base. He's having good at bats. It's not like he wasn't a big prospect. He was.
Oh, yeah.
They just, I don't think they knew. I mean, you know, he was a big name.
It was like Devin Taylor this time last year. So, yeah.
He committed to Michigan, so we weren't pumping stuff out from him. And then he flipped, and then we started having his name come up. But, I mean, he was a big prospect. Again, I didn't know about the power. Apparently, Ava did. But that's, you know, that was news for us.
Yes. Well, Ava was right, so.
I tweeted at her. I tried. I said, oh, you know.
All right. Well, we are now going into week two of Big Ten play. IU does not obviously play Big Ten, but because IU is the team on the bye, there are six Big Ten series coming in. Last week was not pleasant for either Chris or I. So Cass, and the thing was, apparently I was only picking Friday. I did not know that we were picking the entire series because I got every Friday game right, and then it went downhill from there.
Three rubber games though, that was cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh yes, every Big Ten series had a rubber match. This is four, right? We're not used to this. Yeah.
No.
We're just not used to this. Typically, there's always there's a series that like everyone knows where exactly it's going to go, and is not fun. But hey, that's not been the case here. So last week, despite not having a great Friday, Cass ended up 3-0. So congratulations, Cass, on taking the lead. Zach and Josh are in second place, going 2-1, because Cass was the only one to pick Michigan. To get a road series at Penn State. So congrats, Cass, on that pick. I finished in fourth, having picked Maryland. That was my – and again, it's like I should know this. My downfall every year is that I pick Purdue way too much. And again, Purdue let me down. So despite beating Brody Brecht – they still could not win that series.
Ridiculous.
And Chris, well, Chris, sorry. It's a
David Wright. It's actually the shirt I have on here. I can't do it. Okay. I'm not athletic enough to show you that there is a five on my back. And it's for fifth place in the Big Ten contest. Or for David Wright.
So with six series, Chris has a chance to get his first series picked.
Already.
Correct.
I go first.
Yeah, why don't you go first? You know, because you got to jump on this. You're gonna turn things around this week, Chris.
I'm ready. Now, obviously, I'm gonna probably care more about the series with Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor and Jeff McNeil because we don't have a Big Ten series, right? So you know. To me, my biggest series will be the Mets this series. But here we go. I went with Nebraska. I actually think they're playing probably the best out of the Big Ten. I mean, from out of conference, from what I've been paying attention to, they've looked really, really good. So I'm going to go with Nebraska over Northwestern. This one, the Maryland-Michigan one, I flipped a coin because I don't like either team very much. I am playing a little bit law of averages because, I mean, at some point, Maryland has to lose a big series. So the coin said Michigan. I'm going to stick with it. Ohio State over Purdue because my plan didn't work last week, and I want Purdue to lose in basketball. So maybe Purdue winning in baseball will flip it this time. That, again, just a theory. Minnesota I don't think is very good. So they're on the road at Iowa. Plus, I think they're going to have some, like, Caitlin Clark thing going, you know, this weekend. So, you know, I'm going to go Iowa for that. Rutgers, I took over Michigan State for Todd Frazier, played for the Mets. Rutgers alum, it's opening weekend, you know, for the Mets, so I'm going Rutgers for that. And then Penn State over Illinois. Honestly, I didn't think Illinois looked that good. We had two crap innings, one on Friday, one on Sunday, or I really think we should have beat these guys. It was very disappointing that we lost this series, I have to be honest with you. So I'm going to take Penn State. So those are my six, Nebraska, Michigan, Ohio State, Iowa, Rutgers, and Penn State.
All right. Well, since I'm in fourth, I will go next. I'm going to take Rutgers at Michigan State, Nebraska at Northwestern. I do think Maryland is going to finally lose a series. But I'm thinking it's going to be the next one. So I'm saying Maryland goes in and takes at least two out of three from Michigan.
Oh, wait, who do they play next?
Who do you think they play next?
And then everybody comes to Bloomington to celebrate our victory during the
That
eclipse. Okay. Gotcha.
I've got Iowa holding home against Minnesota. Actually, this was probably the toughest one. I'm gonna do it again. I'm gonna pick Purdue. I shouldn't. I absolutely shouldn't, but I'm gonna pick Purdue to beat Ohio State. And I'm gonna say Illinois defends the home field against Penn State. I agree. I didn't necessarily think Illinois looked great, but I did think they pitched it rather well, and I think that'll be enough to get two wins. So I'm going to stick with Illinois for that series. All right. I do have Josh's picks. Let me pull that up here. Probably should have had that handy. Sorry. Don't have Zach's picks yet, but I'll have those up on the site for Josh's picks. Okay, so Josh has picked. I'm just going to list the ones the teams he had to win. He's got Purdue winning, Nebraska winning, and Maryland winning on the road, and he's got Iowa, Illinois, and Michigan State all defending at home. So. Yes, so he's got Michigan State beating Rutgers. Okay. Our defending champion and current first place, Cass, what do you have?
If I was following along correctly, I think I match you exactly. I've got Rutgers, Nebraska. I hated how many visitors I was picking. I really hated it, but I definitely Nebraska. For me, it was definitely Rutgers, considering they're playing Michigan State. Maryland, Michigan was a touch harder, but I still think Maryland. Iowa is the home team, I think, can hold off a not great Minnesota team. I think Illinois showed enough to win against Penn State at home. The Purdue Ohio State one was the hardest one for me to pick. It's a team that's 0-3 on the road going to a team that's 0-3 at home. That there wasn't even a leg up of like, oh, they're 8-2 at home, so let's go with that. But I gave the slight edge to Purdue. They had a better neutral site kind of a record, and that was kind of my deciding factor when road and home record didn't work. So that was Rutgers, Nebraska, Maryland, Iowa, Purdue, and Illinois.
Well, I'm feeling really confident about my picks now. So I wasn't before that, but now I am. So,
Panama Jack.
if only this worked in any of my March Madness brackets. I know I say that again and again, but sitting here with all of my brackets, like I am competing for dead last in one of my brackets, so I get my $5 or $10 back.
I went with a lot of chalk, but I'm still alive with my Arizona over Houston final. So, not that that's a two over a one. So, it's not like I'm really going out on a limb. But I didn't take UConn.
All right. Well, that concludes our picks. So I think we can go ahead and wrap things up. Thank you for listening to this episode of Talking Hoosier Baseball. For more on Indiana University baseball, hit up iubase.com. For Chris Feeney, Cassidy Palmer, I'm Carl James. See you at the BART.